This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Do you say and do things when drinking that you regret the next day? Is alcohol a problem for you or someone you really care about? Over the next hour, we'll find out how people just like you and me found sobriety in AA through sharing their experience, strength and hope. Welcome to AA Live, brought to you by Alcoholics Anonymous.
Kia ora, e te whanau. Welcome to the AA Live radio show. This is a show and podcast that explores the ideas behind a way of recovery through the Alcoholics Anonymous program. My name is Sue, and thank you for tuning in from around the motu and the world this evening. Tonight, we have a cool guest, and I'd like to say a big hello to Andrew.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
How are you, Sue? Yeah, good. Hey, thanks for taking time to be here on this rip-roaring show. I'm quite excited, actually. This should be quite fun. How are you?
Yeah, no, I'm pretty good. Pretty good, really. an alcoholic that's not drinking is always pretty good. I certainly know what it's like to feel pretty shitty, I guess,
if I
can say that on radio. But, every day in sobriety is a pretty good day.
Fantastic. And I really appreciate you taking time out to come in tonight. That's amazing.
No problem.
Let's set the scene. Let's get started with the show. And typically I always intro what we're all about in terms of the AA program. So Alcoholics Anonymous is a service based on alcoholics helping other alcoholics. We do the work through a 12-step program where recovering alcoholics support each other who want to stop drinking and when we learn how to live life. While there is no formal AA definition of alcoholism, most of us agree that for us it could be described as a physical compulsion, that's a nice big word, coupled with a mental obsession. In that, we mean that we had a distinct physical desire to consume alcohol beyond our capacity to control it, and in defiance of all the rules of common sense. I grabbed that out of the Alcoholics Anonymous guidelines, actually.
Really?
Because earlier today, it's quite formal, but it's quite a good one.
It's a very, very good description.
To
be honest, hadn't heard that before. I probably have, but it's bang on.
Yeah. And then just following on from that, in AA, we do the mahi together and we work through the 12 steps. The most important thing is that we also realize that we don't try to deal with the problem single-handedly. We bring the problems out into the open with other alcoholics. Next, we always love doing the AA preamble, and in the AA rooms, we open each meeting by reading out the Alcoholics Anonymous preamble. And for those who are listening and are not familiar with this phrase, the preamble's purpose is to define the fellowship's main charter, really, and it's to provide a consistent framework for members opening meetings, summarising AA's purpose of staying sober and helping others. So, Andrew, do you want to give that a crack with
that,
please?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So the AA preamble reads as, Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men. No, sorry.
This is the new one.
The new version. It's caught me
yes,
out. Alcoholics
yes, yes.
Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not aligned with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
Thanks for that. And what you are here tonight are the opinions of those in tonight's show and not necessarily the opinions of Alcoholics Anonymous as a whole. So really, it's just us, recovering alcoholics, talking about different aspects of our own journey. So it's Tuesday the 9th of December, right at the beginning of this glorious month. And what do? We're heading into sometimes the 12th step. So all of the you can align your step work to the months, but just generally December is a good time for step 12. So the daily reflection that we'd love to talk about is, it's called Love With No Price Tag. And it starts with, when the 12th step is seen in its full implication, it is really talking about the kind of love that has no price tag on it. And that's from 12 steps and 12 traditions. And it continues. In order for me to start working the 12th step, I had to work on sincerity and honesty and to learn to act with humility. Carrying the message is a gift of myself, no matter how many years of sobriety I might have accumulated. My dreams can become reality. I solidify my sobriety by sharing what I've received freely. As I look back at that time when I began my recovery, there was already a seed of hope that I could help another drunk pull himself out of his alcoholic mire. My wish to help another drunk is the key to my spiritual health. But I never forget that God acts through me. I am only his instrument. Got that one. Even, this is quite a long one, but I'll continue. Even if the other person is not ready, there is success because my effort in his behalf has helped me to remain sober and to become stronger. To act, to never grow weary in my 12th step work is the key. If I am capable of laughing today, let me not forget those days when I cried. God reminds me that I can feel compassion. So, Andrew, where do we take that one? 12th step, it's the sort of, of course, we, or most people, we know, but for people that are listening, there's 12 steps in the AA program, and everything sort of comes together at this step in a sense. Not that you stop stepping at that point, but I guess it's what people call is that sort of psychic change, or, you know, you've come to, I don't know, what do you think? I'm sort of filling in the sort of ad-libbing here, but...
Yeah, no, it's interesting because it took me, you know, that's a pretty steep learning curve when you come into this program, and it took me some time to realize that the steps actually align with the months of the year, which is, I guess, quite clever. But yeah, it's, I guess, for AAs, the 12th step being the 12th month is quite a busy month. December, January, I guess, all I know is difficult for a lot of people. You know, families of alcoholics, alcoholics themselves, and all that sort of thing. And, you know, there tends to be a lot of pressure, you know, on people, families, whether it be financial or whatever. So, you know, I think that can be, it can be for a lot of people, you know, which is unfortunate for the festive season and the season of joy. It can be for a lot of people a very low place. And so I think, you know, probably the number of people that come into the rooms over that period, it probably increases. And I know anecdotally divorce lawyers do pretty well in January, regardless of
whether... Yeah, there's all that repercussion, isn't there? It's that sort of hyperbolic curve of if you do have a problem with alcohol, generally, you know, and that you can't... Yeah, as you just said, right, the pressures, family life... I don't know, the Christmas parties, all these types of things sort of put you in a place that can,
Yeah, it can be.
Risky behaviours, that's for
sure.
Yeah, it can be
an unsafe sort of time, I guess, and, you know, it can bring things to a head, which, you know, that's you never wish that on anyone or yourself, but the reality is that's possibly, you know, in the scheme of things, not such a bad outcome because it could potentially bring you to a point where, you know, it's your rock bottom, and from then, as we know, you there's a way through it.
I love that idea of the 12th step too, about sort of carrying the message, if you like, and it's that idea of you know, giving it away, what was freely given to you. And at first, I never quite could wrap my head around that, but as you, it's that idea of even small things like service or you know, picking someone up to go to a meeting, which has been a game changer for me staying in the program, and, you know, sharing at a meeting, you know, that's all part of that, isn't it? Carrying your experience and how you did it, in a sense.
Yeah, and that sharing goes both ways. You know, the newcomers are as vital to the old timers as vice versa, really, you know, and I think we all remember sort of those wee pearls of wisdom that we got from varying people inside the rooms over the years, old timers. But also, you know, if it's someone just newly sober and just into their, you know, experience, strength and hopes, It's also, very beneficial. It goes both ways.
It's the kind of tyres on the road, right? It's sort of, in terms of, you've got that grit when you have someone who has just come into the rooms and they're seeking assistance or support or wondering what to do. And, as you said, it goes both ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah. And that's a neat thing about the program, that it's not a sort of wave your finger type program. It's so far from that. I mean, it's each depends on each other, and there's strength in the body of the movement. It really is, I guess for those that are listening, that if you're feeling lost, I was interesting just the other day that listening to a reading about, just be yourself, and for many of AAs, it's really hard to know who that is when you're in the midst of active addiction. And inside these rooms, you start learning little things like that. And I was listening to a share the other day that you come here for your drinking and you stay for your thinking, which is one of my favorite AA little throwaways. But the immediacy is you just want to stop your addiction, and then over time, it actually becomes almost a program for life, and it becomes far, far, far more broader and moves a long way away from that initial requirement or need as to why you turned up on the door, and that part of the program, I think, is the fun part.
Kicker.
That's the good part.
When everything is starting to like, whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a new thing.
Yeah, and it's very new and it's very exciting and you'll know joy beyond. It's sort of I know when you first hear all these sayings, you can be very cynical, particularly because of you're possibly in a cynical spot at the time when you first come in.
For all the differences in what everyone is in the rooms, as opposed to sort of taking those beautiful little parts and then listening to the likenesses.
You'd almost challenge someone to go into those and listen to a dozen shares and not like. I've never been to a meeting in whatever years that I haven't been able to pick something from every single share I've listened to, and how many that would be, I don't know. But the reality is there's a common thread in every single share you hear, and so listen out for the likenesses, not the differences. It's funny, I didn't even know what the program was, it's on a park bench type scenario, and that sort of thing. But it's funny how it's not that, not funny, but it's not that, and it's so much more.
It's insidious, isn't it? Alcohol doesn't define sort of your income or the car you drive, sort of all those types of things.
It's in the person, and I think I remember my sponsor sort of pointing that out when you have cross sort of addictions. And you see it a lot with alcoholics, have other addictions as well. And I mean, even the realization or the light bulb moment when you realize it's actually not the product, it's you that is the addict. I'll move on to this addiction because I'll be able to control or work with that one. But it's actually you, and it comes back to being you.
Really good. Fantastic. Now, I think, what should we have some music?
We can have some music.
I'm quite curious about what you've selected.
well, I was put on the spot, so I picked three, bang, 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 but then, of course, you go back through, I'd love to play that one, so you really need about 300, but I'm going to play this one because it's one of my favourites. It's a wonderful summer song.
Fantastic. Mr. Tom Petty rocks it from 1990. Good selection there, Andrew. So you are listening to the AA Live show, and in association with our friends from Otago Access Radio on 105.4 FM. Now we're moving into the main part of our show, which I always enjoy. And I thought, Andrew, I'd take a sort of bit of a deep dive into about your experience. And this is when we talk about parts or all of your experience, strength and hope, which is a good sort of version of like our little mini meeting, as I look across from you with our headphones on. So how did you come into the rooms of AA? What's your
Well, it was a long, it was a long build-up, and you know, probably you know, look, where I sit now, wish I had come in earlier, but you know, it's not the way. It's a quite typical. Grew up in Southland, you know, alcohol being very prominent in all parts of life, whether it be sort of social, you know, family get-togethers, schools, all that sort of thing, and which is a very typical sort of story, I guess, inside the rooms, is it was actually great fun. You know, it was a thing that we all looked forward to on the weekend, and it was a wee bit crazy, and it was, you know, we had all our mates, and they were fun times. You know, and then it went on to tertiary education. And of course, that's you know very much fueled with good times and you know, not a lot of responsibility and that sort of thing. So you can
get a sort of fraternity,
yes,
sort of vibes.
Yeah, and you can also hide in there too, because uh-huh, you know, like, I mean, you know, it's a very social sort of thing. You know, if you sleep until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, no one's going to raise an alarm. Unlike when you're working, you know, you've got a boss sort of bearing down on you. So you're sort of allowed to play in that area, and I think sort of push the boat out a bit. And then, it, you know, you go into working life, you know, all that sort of thing. And it's what they call a progressive illness, right? Mm-hmm. So it just gets progressively worse and worse and worse. Never better, always worse and worse and worse. And I think, you know, probably one of the themes that I pick up in the rooms is everyone feels there's something not right around this whole relationship with whatever it is, you know, alcohol or whatever your addiction is, and so you know that, and it just exacerbates, that's the word.
Do you just work harder? You know, how did you conceal it?
Yeah, you just push through it. Yeah. You push through it. You get up and you go to work and you do that, and it becomes cyclical. But you know, I think it's cunning, baffling, powerful is another saying that they have inside the rooms, and it is cunning, baffling, powerful. It'll wait. It's very patient as well. It'll wait and wait and wait until, and then for me it was just, wow, I'm not, you know, this is a really unusual, you know. In the grip of the addiction, it seems normal, you know, the fact you have to have a drink in the morning and that sort of thing to get through your day. But, you know, and –
because you make that habitual, right? That's okay.
It's not that.
And then it's sort of you – yeah. and then it becomes – you know, it's like going to get a long black or something. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It's absolutely not. But in your mind, it was.
Exactly. It's not till you step back, and sometimes you don't have the ability to step back, and that's what I sort of – I did, I guess, and – you know, I was aware of the program, but it was, you know, I didn't put two and two together that my life's unmanageability was related to alcohol, and so it sort of took me a long time to click. I'm a very sort of slow learner in that respect, but that's good because AA's got plenty of time and patience, and you know, the only requirement for membership is that a desire to stop drinking.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's what you got to do.
Tradition three.
Just turn up and I don't want to do this anymore. And from there it all goes. And, you know, you'll remember as well, Sue, that, you know, just come back as all the old timers and, you know, just come back. Because it is a pretty steep, confronting sort of curve. I mean, a lot of people find it hard to, you know, there's a lot of spirituality with it and all that sort of stuff. But, you know.
Trying to negotiate where you sit
in that. There's no need to do that. You just simply keep going back, right? And all that will fall into place. It's not important to work. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day. So the fundamental thing is just to keep going back. And it's funny how my whole, you know, lens on the program has sort of gone. Like, I could never get my head around the disease aspect of it. In my initial days, I thought it was a cop out, and you know,
offloading all your problems onto something that doesn't exist.
Well, I've got a disease, and so that's you know, sort of like, you know, that. But as I've spent the time in the program, I'm 100% convinced of that. So that's a 180 in terms of my opinions and attitudes towards that. You know, and a lot of the things inside there only sort of start washing over you with, you know, with a wee bit of time in the rooms, and you start going, actually, I understand that, and that's what I was touching on before, is the, you know, that's the stuff that you don't expect or didn't think. You turned up because you just wanted to not have to have a drink at 7 a.m. That's what you wanted to do. And, of course, that was dealt with pretty quickly. Like the first day you come, it's day at a time, day at a time. So all of a sudden you've got 5 days up. But so that part of the process is immediately seized upon. But it's that the internal growth and stuff, which I guess which is why a lot of AAs wish they had come in at 15 and not 50 or whatever, because they could have had 35 years of this sobriety, which imagine that, but and a sober mind. But
and did you, know, you when you first came to like the different meetings and that, did you find a sponsor quite soon, or did you sort of just truck along by sort of on your own volition for a while?
Yeah, so one of my sort of weaknesses, I guess, inside how I is I try to do it my own way too much, and I don't, you know, lean on my fellows and, you know, my sponsors. So it took me a while. I had one, and then who was a great fella, but I just sort of changed tack and went with another chap who's I've been with as well. We're in different towns, so that makes it a little bit harder. But he's a 30-odd year veteran.
So tell me how that works. Do you just have regular calls, or do you just pick up the phone and travel every now and then to see them?
Yeah, so we bump into each other probably a couple of times a month in terms of me being in his city or vice versa. And then, you know, I can just sort of pick the phone up and that sort of thing. I mean, a lot of people have an enormous amount of contact, like daily contact with their sponsor. That's not how I play it. I'm not saying it's the right way to play it, but that's not my relationship. But yeah, and so I find that a wee bit difficult, and it's something I've got to push myself to do more of, particularly when I'm sort of out of sorts. It's all very well to pick the phone up when you're, you know, everything's going well, and yeah, how are you? And you know, but when it's not going well, I find it difficult at those moments to actually reach out. But that's of course is the very moment that you should reach out. So yeah.
That's true, because my experience as well, I have a similar one, and it's, well, not personally similar, but the idea that, yeah, you call them when you've done something that's really good, you know, and or else you've achieved that, or you've finished some homework, or I don't know, you know, you've got through, you've sorted out an issue really well. You know, so you sort of want to get the sort of gold stars on the fridge
thing. Yeah,
and it's, but that's okay, because they are the rewards of living a sober life. So it's good to share those as well. But it's important that, you know, they're not sort of writing you a report.
No.
You know, at the end of term type thing.
No, you can't pass or fail it. Yeah. And I remember the first time I went into the rooms, or one of the first times, and there was an old timer there. And he said, "How are you?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm good." And then we were early. And then I said, "Actually, I'm not." And then he said, yeah, that's the right answer. You know what I mean? So, you know, we're good pretenders. We're good, you know, we can hide it from the world because the you know, shameful aspect of drinking and, you know, that we're pretenders. And so we're very good actors of letting everyone know that we're okay. We could win an Oscar, really, in terms of our ability to you know, what we portray to the world in many instances. And so, you know, it's about breaking all that down, and that comes through the rooms, which is one of the again, and with your sponsor.
I think for me, before I was an AA, and people know on the show, I've took me a while to, you know, maintain like a decent length of sobriety, and you know, I'd get sort of 6 weeks up or a few months, and then all those pressures would come in life for all sorts of reasons, and you know, just, well, the classic relapse would happen, and it would sort of pivot all again. And I think for me this time, you know, I've really reached out and kind of got more traction this time, you know, and but then also being. And being more tracked on, being a bit vague here, but the idea that I did, you know, try and latch on to like finding a temporary sponsor and that type of thing. And then, you know, got quite a few phone numbers of people, and I thought, God, because I was pretty terrified. of what where it might take me in terms of my active alcoholism.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I mean, the reality is, you know, the ends in the gates of insanity or death in many, many cases. So it is a life or death situation. You know, I view it as that as well. And it has to be treated that seriously. And every day, you know, we ask for a reprieve. And God willing, we get that. And so... it's a serious business. It's a fun business though. There's lots of laughter and good-hearted fellowship in the rooms, isn't there?
And the sort of larger changes in your family lives and sort of the things that you really value, they sort of have that opportunity too to grow again. And I don't know. I mean, you know,
relationships
repair. All those
quicker than what you think.
That was just quite good.
And
then sometimes, you know, you can also get courage. To actually say, well, maybe this is not what I want. You know, and you know those types of things too. So once you can have a better base of decision making, don't you find? In terms of it goes across the board.
And that's that, you know, for me it was, you know, I just want to put down the drink, basically. That was the first thing I turned up for. But then, you know, the other benefits, you know, the ability to be relied on, the ability to, you know, someone will seek your counsel and you can actually give them quality advice that's not loaded with them, with, you know, an ism of alcohol. So, all those other things that you don't expect as you come into the rooms to, you know, be part of this recovery. But, you know, that's what keeps us, you know, certainly keeps me coming back. I say in the rooms, you know, it's a wonderful resource. You know, like we get to go as many times as we want, you know, every day, maybe twice if we want. Where we've got this network that network of help. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's so true. And it's quite, and I've always touched on this, but I've met yourself in the rooms and it's, you know, and it's quite exciting in a sense because you think, you know, looking across the room, we're not dissimilar ages in a sense. And it's quite, you know, I can identify sometimes with that as well. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that, even though that's maybe all we have in common in a way. But, it is a great idea. So for those people who are listening, you know, and you're not sure what AA is really on about, try and come to a meeting if you need to. You know, we're always there.
There's no that you as long as back to the beginning, you know, a desire to stop drinking is the only thing that's required to an open meeting.
And that's when I found that app was really cool. That was really good. And a few months ago, I went to Wellington. You know, could suss out a couple of cool meetings. Went to one. Where was it? On the terrace. That was really cool.
Yeah, I know.
Really great. Meeting. And then the next day, I was sort of cruising around in Newtown.
Right.
Yeah, and quite a different.
There's one up the back. Is Mount Wellington one up the back into a church that they ordinarily allowed to drink coffee and eat cookies in AA rooms. But I always remember that meeting standing up because no coffee in the rooms because I think they just got new carpet. So you had to have your coffee out in the kitchen, which it's funny what you remember. But that was something I remembered about that particular room. But I also think that, you know, if you're listening to a show such as this or if you're considering that or if you're ringing the AA hotline, like I've done, I remember someone at the other end of one of those calls said, normal people don't ring this number, normal drinkers, you know. And that always sort of stuck with me, you know what I mean? Like I think people, well, certainly myself, I didn't know what it was, but I knew something wasn't right, you know. And, you know, I didn't have the whatever, you know, knowledge, maturity, whatever, the assistance of this program, but I knew that something was wrong. And I think, like, if you're feeling like that, then you're probably right. You know, so do have the – just make that first step. And often that can be, you know, it's not all roses, but it can make a big difference in your life.
Fantastic. Hey, should we try another track? What do you think?
I can get
should we have another What have you got lined up here?
Well, I've got Madame Butterfly.
Ooh la la.
It's just one of my favourites, but it's very hard for me to pronounce. I'm just going to play it.
So we've got, is it Puccini?
Puccini, Madame Butterfly.
Fantastic.
Now that's ready to go, Susie.
Okay.
Thank you.
somewhere back in the rooms. As everyone out there can understand, that we don't have a mic tonight, and so I'm running the desk myself, and this is why we've got a few sort of awkward moments. And
like, I was going to say, we do have mics.
You can hear buttons clicking and phones ringing and fingers tapping. It's all part of the soundtrack, right?
Yeah. It's not... we're working towards perfection, so we seek progress, not perfection.
That's right.
So it can cross over to radio shows as well.
And I was thinking, Madhuri, that we could talk about next, because it's quite helpful, because this is early December.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming into the Christmas period, which we touched on earlier, and I can remember this time last year, it was one of my first shows, and I was with Jan. I was her little buddy. Hi, Jan, if you're listening.
Yeah.
and we were talking about relapse and the idea of, well, not relapse, but the idea of feeling pressured as the Christmas period comes through, and having to think about, you know, what in terms of self-care, what would you say to people that it would be experiencing pressures?
I guess it's difficult, and there's a different philosophy, I guess, if you're in active addiction, and so you're drinking. It's a very difficult time of the year, isn't it? Because it's, you know, there's just that unmanageability of the next few months with so many pressures on social functions. For me, I always have a good plan, and that's the key. So I always have an exit. Parties, it would probably be fair to say that, you know, most of my norms don't realise that I'm in this program, they know I don't drink, but they don't know the efforts of which I go to.
So what that plan look like? Does that mean you sort of have an exit time, or you sort of think, well, I'm going to start, you know, I'm going to take these people up for a lunch, or I'm not sure, types of things, and then I'm like, cool, we'll take them here, you know, and then we'll wrap it up at a certain point?
I mean, because I don't drink, they know that I'm never going to be the last guy there, right? But, morning teas as opposed to 5 o'clocks is a nice way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's so much more social. It's real, it's interactive. I mean, you know, three like beers in. I mean, who remembers what they were sort of saying? So, I really like that. Breakfast, morning teas. Always, obviously, one of the benefits is you can always drive. When it comes time, you've had enough, you can just move on. The interesting thing is that, you know, social functions, I turn up for a little later than I normally would, and spend some time there and then leave, and I've never been challenged as to how long I've stayed. I mean, no one knows what time you left. So you can still maintain, you know, that connection with work colleagues and that sort of thing. Generally I'd sort of limit my exposure to that side of things. And I thought that would be one of the major, you know, like, and I think it is with a lot of people, is how will I cope not being like that, right? How am I going to a function and not drinking, or, you know, and all that sort of stuff.
So there's that level of anxiety when you're first getting sober. Can I actually do this without that type of medicating, or should I just stay home, which can actually be a fantastic option if you are risky.
Yep, just don't go.
Just don't go.
Yeah, and look, I think
Or just send your apologies. I mean, we're talking about when it's, more of a family-orientated thing. Yeah, families are not always, or loved ones, sometimes, you know, even though you might not be actively drinking or those types of things, you know, having around in that sort of area or other in that sort of particular situation, or also, you know, family stresses over Christmas. You get the odd argument, something someone says to you just, you know, tweaks that little, sort of turns you up a little bit. So it is having about that plan.
Have him or her on speed dial, so you can just simply go, you know, when you get those sort of things, just retire out of the situation and give your sponsor a ring.
But I must admit that when I was first getting sober, I would definitely probably really reduce those social activities, because there are other alternatives. If I was feeling at risk, I'd go to a meeting or those types of things. Or out, it's just initially you sort of do have to change your lifestyle, but yes. gradually, you know, you could sort of move into meeting someone sort of or meeting some friends out for a night. But it would be, for me, I had to sort of give it a sort of a timeline or a definition.
And to be honest, I don't think you come back to it. You know what I mean? Like, and it's yeah. not forced or it's, you know, like I think from when you're active, you sort of go, I can never not be at that or that or that. That. But you do put some space initially between you and those social just for to make sure that your recovery stays on solid ground. But, you know, I mean, I don't know about you, but I mean, the thought of going to a pub at 9:30 being busy, it's just not something I want to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is great, because if you did, it would be sort of a bit painful, but it's just not something that I want to do.
Your sort of purpose is changing.
Yeah, kind of. You know, like, I mean, I'll run into people there and that sort of thing, but on the whole, I'm quite comfortable nowadays not to be there, which is what I want, which is interesting, because that was one of my big anxieties or big fears, is how will I cope with that? Well, actually, it's just sort of diminished away. It copes with itself, and often, well, in my case, so I wouldn't speak for anyone else. In my case, I'm 10 times more social, which is odd.
How about that?
Yeah, like I'm far more, far more likely to be involved in different groups or different, you know, whether it's
sports events, whatever.
Yeah, I get to them because I'm sort of not being isolated by my illness. And so I have much more healthier, better interactions with people. Don't mind facing up the next day to them because you're not thinking, God, what did I say to them last night?
Right.
You know, you sort of know that.
Mm.
For me, it's because I mean, being a blackout drunk, you're going out to be social, but you know, let's be honest. I mean, within three or four drinks in, you know, you're sort of, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
So I sort of like the realness of sobriety, if you like.
I think I'm quite fortunate in a way that where I work, it isn't a drinking culture, so I'm quite happy with that.
Yeah.
But we have got like a Christmas party, you know, sort of planned and that, you know, what do you call it? Secret Santa.
Yeah,
it's a really strange thing. I think it has to be under $10 or
that's
something.
That's right. It's quite cool though. Like it makes it quite. It's quite.
But
fun,
some but people this year, I think we're all having to make something by hand. You know, like a hand crafty thing.
Yeah, it would be difficult.
So instead of jumping on down to, a little bit cheaper version, but so we'll see what happens there.
You need to get to some school fairs and purchase something and pretend you made it. But again, those sort of environments, I'm lucky enough that my workplace is pretty dry. It's not sort of there. But I mean, it's everywhere, isn't it? I mean, you can't even go to a supermarket without having to walk past an alcohol display. So, you're not going to change that external environment. It's about managing it internally, I suppose. And and that's what this program is so great at doing, is giving you the tools to reach for when, you're feeling helpless or without any options. And yeah, it's cool.
All right. That's amazing. now we've got, should we just throw one more track in before we close the little show?
Yeah.
And what have we got happening here?
Old favourite. It explains itself, but Anchor Me by the Mutton Birds.
Here we are, back in the rooms. Told you I wasn't that great at pushing the desk buttons. Hey, thank you so much, Andrew, for coming in.
You're welcome.
It's been a really, what a comfortable discussion. And we've covered a range of bases. So in terms of closing the program this evening, Alcoholics Anonymous is based on a 12-step program. For those who aren't sure what that means, the 12 steps outline a path to spiritual progress through a series of actions designed to draw out a complete mental, emotional and spiritual shift in perception. We believe the 12 steps can be critical for a long-term recovery program. And for all of our listeners, that if you want to drink, that is your business. But if you want to stop, we can help. And here are some ways to contact Alcoholics Anonymous. You can call us on 0800 2296 757. The website is aa.org.nz, which is really worth exploring, as I've just said before. It's got all the meeting times and all sorts of bits and bobs on that. If you have any queries or questions about this show, then you're most welcome to directly email us, and that's aalive@aaotago.org.nz. And you can also download it, which is pretty cool. So you can download this as a podcast, and you can go to the web station and listen to that or download that. And it's also going to be played this Sunday night, so check that out. So that's all we have time for this evening. I'm going to play a little track here, and I've been trying to play this for a little while, and it's by Solange, and it's called Cranes in the Sky. So we're going to finish with that this evening. So take care of yourselves out there, and matiwa.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.